Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Hi there. We'll talk to Buzz here in just one second, but I got to tell you that summer is all about grilling, and no one understands grilling better than Omaha Steaks. Their Grand Summer Grill Out Package lets you stay home and eat like you're at the best steakhouse in town, all for much less. And by the way, best customer service in the world at Omaha Steaks. I had an experience where I sent some steaks to someone who wasn't home and the steaks sat outside and spoiled for a week. And I contacted Omaha Steaks, brand new box of steaks sent to the same person free of charge. I was blown away by that kind of service. Meanwhile, they've got bacon wrapped filet mignon, pork chops, chicken kielbasa, and more all delivered to your door with ease. And right now, Omaha Steaks is offering an exclusive deal on this amazing package. Go to omahasteaks.com. Enter the code LIBERAL into the search bar, and for this week only, Omaha Steaks will add 4 burgers and 4 gourmet jumbo franks free with your order. Omaha Steaks delivers guaranteed quality and safety with every order. Go to omahasteaks.com, type LIBERAL in the search bar, and order the Grand Summer Grill Out Package. For this week only, you're also going to receive 4 jumbo franks and 4 burgers free to complete your steakhouse experience. omahasteaks.com, enter the code LIBERAL in the search bar. And now let the cartoons begin.
Broadcasting from Resistance Headquarters, relentlessly fighting back against the clown dictator and his regime of deplorables.
Never give up, never surrender.
This is the Bob Zeska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Now, men, I have just one thing to say. This isn't going to be kid stuff.
Oh, Barney.
Sheriff, you don't
mind. Now, there won't be room for any mistakes out there. One mistake is one too many. And you'll each be on your own. There'll be no mollycoddling. That badge means something. Don't any of you disgrace it.
I won't, sir.
Did you have permission to talk?
No, sir.
What's your badge number?
3.
All right, 3. Watch it. Now listen, men, and listen good. There's liable to be trouble out there today. We're liable to have folks among us who are here for more than just a good time, if you know what I mean. Now, the minute it looks like there's going to be trouble, we got to nip it. Nip it in the bud. Nip it. Let's hear it. Nip it.
Bob Zeska.
Bob. Bob.
What?
Bob.
The Bob Zeska Show.
I swear I'm awake. I need 5 more minutes. Hey, remember when the cops used to be like that guy? Barney Fife. From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, July 28, 2020, and this is the Bob Zeska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com. Hi, my name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hello. Day 1,286 of the Trump crisis. 98 days, just around the corner. 98 days until the 2020 presidential election. Early voting begins in a matter of weeks, and back from vacation, It is the great
Mike Elson.
But we call him Buzz Burbank. Hi, Buzz. How are you?
Hey, brother. Hey, Bob. Hi, everybody. Oh, man, it's good to be back.
Yeah.
I don't even know how I got here today. The last thing I remember, I was being stuffed into an unmarked van. He's Bob. I'm Buzz. And the elephant on the cognitive test was our idea. Very proud of that.
Yeah.
Pretty good vacation. I got some stuff done around the house. You know how it goes, mm-hmm. especially with a staycation.
Yeah.
And I tested the water in my swimming pool. I aced it. Pool guy says they've never seen anything like it.
Nice.
Bob and I, of course, are here today to finally publicly admit for the very first time that today's show will get worse before it gets better.
Yes. Oh, my God. Great. Well, I'm glad.
Held that back until now. I do have some good news, though, today. I'm glad about this. I think the hurricane chased away the murder hornet.
Thank God. Those bastards.
Oh, and the this is exciting. Just before the show, in fact, the Emmy nominations were announced today.
Yeah.
And congratulations, guys. HBO's The Watchmen, which I enjoyed season one of so very much.
Yeah.
Got like, I don't know, 26 nominations or something.
Yeah, Mandalorian, too. Yeah.
You know, thinking about TV, and I wonder if we're ever going to see those shows again, you know, or how long it's going to be before they're able to come back. But it occurs to me that if the Obama administration hadn't left the cupboards bare, we'd still have TV shows.
Nice.
Roger Stone, yeah, he wants to be free. And Trump says, baby, leave it to me. I'm president famous, I'm getting between. Yeah, I can do something that's obscene. Baby, you can bribe Bill Barr. Yes, we'll take this thing that far.
He got me.
Yep.
Baby, you can bribe Bill Barr, and maybe he'll spring you. Creep, 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 yeah.
So creepy. Yeah.
Creep, 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 yeah.
Creepiest.
Creep, 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 yeah.
All right. So, yeah.
It is.
As we
renowned photographer Rocky Mountain Mike.
Yeah, he's out in the wilderness somewhere, so we can talk about him and he might not hear it.
That's
could say
true.
Funny things about him, yeah. But yeah, sure, Bill Barr is testifying in the House Judiciary Committee as we record this, and I saw a little bit of the proceedings. I don't know if you caught any of it, Buzz, but... Yeah.
I didn't. I knew I faced a choice this morning as Barr prepared to testify. I could either tune in and listen to his fantasies, or I could write productively about reality. So I decided to write instead.
Yeah, of course, it's more of the same crap with Bill Barr, right? The Dick Cheney passive aggression, right? Where he can say the most outlandish, craziest, conspiratorial crap, but with that tone of voice, he's able to sell it for some reason. He's able to get it out there. Everyone thinks, oh my God, that's the greatest idea. He's like that great scene from Vice, the movie about Dick Cheney, where he's talking about putting on the penis puppet show on the White House lawn. But he's doing it in that tone of voice.
Do the voice.
Maybe what we'll do here is we'll put some little wigs and googly eyes on our penis and jerk each other off on the White House lawn. That'll be a great idea.
He says it calmly and with authority, and he can get away with saying anything.
Yeah, that's the entire strategy, and that's the real danger in Bill Barr. I mean, other than his actual running of the Justice Department, it's that tone of voice. I mean, if you have the talent, if you have the skills to be able to, you know, either have a face that looks trustworthy, or if you have a tone of voice that sounds trustworthy, you can get away with all kinds of crap position.
It's worked for me.
That's right. I forgot. But yeah, it was good. One of the great moments that I was able to see today before we were interrupted by this damn show is Jerry Nadler just wrapping up some remarks to Bill Barr, just going, shame on you, Mr. Barr. Shame on you. So I was glad to see that Jerry Nadler coming out swinging. Of course, Jim Jordan's opening statement was nothing but, you know, like riot porn. I'm not sure all that footage was from the United States, by the way. I want to go through it. I'm sure someone's going through it. Fact checkers are going through it now to determine whether or not there are any clips from Ukraine or anything in there.
There's a lot of that going around, for sure. You know, I wonder if that footage is having the effect that Trump and Jim Jordan and Fox News hope that it is having.
Yeah.
I wonder if it isn't having the opposite effect. And I know the Trump administration has tried to portray this, and his supporters mm-hmm. have tried to portray this as, this is what America's going to look like if Joe Biden's elected.
That's right.
Well, hello, this is what America looks like with Donald Trump as president.
Idiot.
And it is for show, as mm-hmm. So many people have said at this point.
Yeah.
And what a violent, painful show it is, painful to the country, dangerous to the country, and it produces this violent. Donald Trump knows good TV, and he yeah. knows violence. Yeah. Violence sells, and it instills the fear that you have written about for years and yeah. talked about for years. It's that same technique all over again, it's for show, but people are bleeding and being arrested because of it.
Yeah. In fact, what we are in right now with Donald Trump is what I've been referring to as, you know, full-blown American fascism. I mean, he has crossed that Rubicon with these actions, sending in right. federal troops into American cities to march against American citizens, a clear violation of the Constitution, a clear right. Gigantic leap into the realms of American fascism. Now, I wrote about this in my Salon piece today, so I want to cover this a little bit, but there was an author named Jason Stanley who referred to Donald Trump's form of fascism as being performative fascism, which obviously yeah. we've talked about this in the past. We talk, well, Donald Trump has no core values. There's nothing driving right. Donald Trump on the inside, no sense of right and wrong, etc., no adherence to any sort of code. You know, we all have our little codes of things that we consider to be sacred, things right and wrong. And Donald Trump doesn't have that. So there's no real way for Donald Trump in his core to believe in something like fascism. This is Donald Trump reacting. This is Donald Trump's lizard brain fight or flight instinct playing out.
This is Donald Trump playing to the base, the yeah. shrinking base, and yeah. hoping that their enthusiasm will make up for what they lack in, what they obviously lack in numbers from the very clear polls that we're seeing. Mm-hmm. And I like, hey, don't get happy. You got to vote to make this happen. Polls right. don't elect presidents. Votes do.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, the massive lead that Biden has at this point is Trump's own doing.
Yep.
And nothing, I promise you, nothing is going to happen between now and Election Day to change his handling. There are attempts to get him on the right path, but mm-hmm. you can't change the man.
Yeah.
The man is not going to change. And so with all the help he's getting and the advice he's getting or not getting, as the case may be, it gets down to him. And, yeah. and he's caused this to happen. And the pandemic is not going to go away, the track we're on. And I don't see that track changing.
No.
And the violence in the street is not going to go away so long as Trump can exacerbate it and try to cash in on it while really probably just hurting himself more.
59% of lean Trump voters, these are people who are leaning toward voting for Trump, right. said the nationwide protests against racism and police brutality are completely right or somewhat right. So
yeah.
even Trump leaners are saying these protests are completely above boards. They are encouraging, supporting these protests. 72% of Americans with mixed feelings about Trump said the protesters were right too. So there is broad support for what's going on. There is broad support for Black Lives Matter. And some of the evidence, we don't watch baseball, Buzz, but you know, even in the sports ball, they are putting uh-huh. BLM logos on the pitcher's mound. They are taking a knee for the cause. There was a major changeover that occurred in this country at
yes.
some point. Oh, I think it was George Floyd. Yeah, that was the pivot.
Still underway.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
change is still underway.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is that, you know, this is so counter to American conservatism. That's what the amazing thing about Donald Trump sending in federal goon squads into the cities, federal stormtroopers into the cities, clear out protesters. This is something that the conservative movement has been screaming against for years. I mean, I did a deep dive into some of this crap. Libertarianism, which is sort of the centerpiece of modern republicanism, runs completely counter to everything that Donald Trump is doing. The Cato Institute has written extensively about how the federal federal government should not be a domestic police force. This violates the Constitution. That's why we have, you know, state governments and local governments and police forces guided by those state and local governments. That is the constitutional purpose. That all lies within the 10th Amendment. And it's not me just saying this. This is the entire conservative movement for decades have been writing about this crap.
And again, the disparity, I think, between his alleged popularity numbers, and as small as they are, and the support for his policies, which is minimal to nil to none, the discrepancy between those kinds of figures. Nobody supports his, in short, nobody supports his policies, but he has a surprisingly large following, popularity. It's bigger, and so it makes him look bigger than he really is.
Right.
He's in that way the Wizard of Oz. Sounding bigger than he really is, because he is that, as I mentioned before, that cult figure. And that explains, I think, why even in Republican hearts, they know that the Black Lives Matter protesters are right. They also know, and there's also a lot of common sense finally at play among a majority of the American people. The majority of the American people know that only a minute fraction of the protesters are violent, and that they are there to be violent and not true to the movement. The wall of moms, the wall of the doctors, the doctors, the
veterans,
who came out, the doctors who came out with signs saying, "Please stop killing our patients." You know, and the wall of dads with their leaf blowers. That's so cool.
I love that.
As a guy with a leaf blower, let me say, I would be a part of that.
Proudly. Applause for the guys with leaf blowers. Yeah.
There were reports that they were blowing the tear gas back toward the police.
Right.
And I'm sure that happened. I also have read accounts they were blowing the tear gas away from the protesters as more of a defense weapon than an offensive weapon. And again, a majority of the American people, Republican and Democrat, not only know that a small percentage of those are troublemakers, but when it comes to the argument that's going on right now between conservatives and liberals on this $200 a week versus $600 a week, the extended unemployment benefits for the pandemic that Republicans want to cut while spending $2 billion on a new FBI building for Trump. They know, most Americans with common sense know that, sure, there are people who perhaps are making more money with this relief than they would be if they were still working. Maybe people in the food service industry. I don't know. I'm sure there are examples of that. Oh, what a shame. What a shame it would be. What a shame it would be if some money somehow managed to trickle down to real regular people, working Americans. What a shame it would be if they got a little something extra while billions are stolen from the payroll protection program and the other so-called relief programs that were passed with oversight that was struck down by Donald Trump so crooks could run rampant. A guy in Florida got like $4 million. Spent some of it on a Lamborghini. He did not meet the requirement of retaining 60% of his employees because he didn't even have employees. That's how supervised this loan fund has been. Other millionaires and billionaires and connected people have gotten tens of millions of dollars in loans, while a friend of mine who has a video business, video production business, got nothing. He's got a small business. He got nothing. And corporations got these tens of millions of dollars and did not meet the requirement of keeping 60% of their people on the payroll.
That's right.
A hotel out of San Diego has some of its employees sending it money so that they can keep their health insurance.
Jesus.
But by all means, and I'm talking to a member of my family here, by all means... Let's not let regular people get a little something extra, but let's let the billionaires continue to walk away unchecked with money from a fund that was supposed to help America but really didn't, because people didn't get to keep their jobs after all. No, very few paychecks were protected by this program. And people, I think all people have, most people, I should say, have the common sense to know that, yeah, you're going to have some people get money who shouldn't have, but why are we watching the pennies that are going to regular people and letting the dollars fly to the corporations? That's so, to me, that's so conservative. That's typical of the conservative philosophy, is pinch the pennies and watch the dollars fly out the door.
Yeah, they think, what they think is that people are going to get lazy and not go back to work. Be like, oh, this is way, the $600 check every month or this $200 check every month is, oh my God, there's so much money pouring in. I don't need to work anymore. I'll just keep collecting these checks. That's not, that, no one is thinking that, like that.
First of all, that is so cynical because people love to work. Right. Some people love their jobs. Mm-hmm. Hi, Bob.
Hi.
Some people love what they do.
Yeah.
They'd almost do it for free. That's how much some people, and people, there's something in people that makes us want to work. The vast majority of us, sure, they're going to be slackers, but we're talking about a fraction of the population. But in the cynical Republican view, nobody would work if they got paid. And they also paint it as though this is going to go on for the rest of our lives. No, it's just to get us through the pandemic, dumbass.
Right. Yeah.
You know, this isn't, we're not giving them, we're not telling them don't work forever. We're telling them don't work for now because we're trying to kill a pandemic.
Yeah, and compounded on top of all of that, Buzz, is the reality that doing this, spending this money, pumping this money, printable money, by the way, into the economy, is the right thing to do. That is the fiscal policy that we need to be pursuing in the midst of this pandemic right now. And that should have started from the very beginning, an entire series rolling out of money to sustain the economy while it remains shut down. From the very start, Donald Trump should have shut down the economy, passed legislation that would have provided a bridge to get over that hump, to keep the economy at least afloat. And then once we were all locked down for 2-3 months and the entire virus had basically dissipated to nothing, then we could have started reopening, the economy could have flourished, and guess what? The presidential race would probably be more competitive than it is right now because Donald Trump wouldn't be seen as the laughingstock, as the disaster monkey that he actually turns out to be. And so these are all things that could have happened, but which did not happen because we have a maliciously incompetent administration in place right now.
Yeah. And because they are maliciously incompetent, it's not going to happen, but it could. If we had a real president, if we had actual national leadership in this country, which we clearly do not.
Except for when it comes to policing. That's a separate story.
And that's a show, you know. But and like I said, a violent, ugly, painful show as well. But this still can be done. It's not too late. If we were to shut down now, Bob, for 6 weeks, we would flatten the curve. In fact, perhaps eliminate the virus entirely from the country, according to experts on this subject.
Yeah.
If we, it would be painful.
Yeah.
But if we shut down now for 6 weeks, when we opened up again, we could stay open. Everything could be open. By October 1st, we could, with another 6 week shutdown, there's time for that over the summer. And yes, it would be economically painful, but the economy could truly, truly come back and Donald Trump could get reelected. But he's never going to do this. Mm-hmm. He's never going to do this because he never wants to admit that he's wrong. Everything I've read indicates that this is what this is all about, is that he goes with his gut and he doubles down and triples down and never gives in to reality and continues to follow. And he believes it himself to a large extent. Mm-hmm. But it could, with a six-week shutdown, we could be, schools could be open. You sports ball fans could have your games back.
That's right.
Everything could be open again. Bars, restaurants. If we just chill for 6 weeks, like we should have done properly the first time. The first time was a 50% shutdown.
Yeah.
What we need is a 90% shutdown for 6 weeks. Or if you don't like this kind of talk, the title of my newscast this week is 3 Simple Tricks to End the Pandemic. And
great.
And that will outline a way to get everything open by October 1st without a complete shutdown.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So that's where we are.
Yeah. Again, sensible policy. And the thing that I can't figure out, maybe you can explain this to me, Buzz, how keeping the schools closed benefits Joe Biden. This is what I can't figure out. This is the talking point from Donald Trump and the entire Trump administration, that if we keep the schools closed until this preventable pandemic is ended, right?
I see your problem here.
Yeah, I don't understand why. I guess they're doing this because Donald Trump is just sticking with the brand. I don't see the real world consequences for the election in terms of keeping the schools closed. I don't get that.
Well, you're right. And the problem here is you heard it and you took it seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was the mistake. That was the mistake there, I think. It's obviously absurd. Yeah. It's just absurd. Doesn't and again, I think most Americans know that. Mm-hmm. Look at the poll numbers. Again, it's not a win. It doesn't happen unless you vote. But you could see the mood that America is in from those poll numbers. And it's not close. It's not close. It's overwhelming.
Yeah.
Everyone hates Donald Trump except for the few blind people who frighten me and will frighten me even after the election.
Usually when this happens, when a candidate is securing their base, making sure that at least their core supporters are going to turn out to vote for them, that's the sign of a badly losing campaign. Because what Donald Trump needs to do more than anything else leading up to this election, and he's obviously trying all of the illegal shit, all of the nefarious crap, and we'll get into that. But, I mean, he should be reaching out to moderate voters. He should be reaching out to even conservative Democrats at this point to expand his base. Because you can't win an election with only 40% support. And so he's got to reach out beyond that, and he refuses to do it. He will never, ever, ever do that, which is why, you know, of course, he's running into a brick wall with this election, I hope.
He listens to his gut.
Yeah.
He listens to Fox News, and he listens to his adoring crowds. Mm-hmm. And that's all he hears.
Yeah.
and because he isn't going to change, he isn't going to win re-election.
I'm knocking on all the wood, hoping that's the case. Because fascism, we call it performative fascism. Yes. If he is re-elected, that is going to stick to the wall. That is going to become a permanent way of our executive branch to function. Basically, Donald Trump's teeny tiny yet iron fist. You know what I mean?
I don't want to put too fine a point on it, but it won't be America anymore.
No, absolutely not. I mean, everyone who's saying, re-election means the end of the American experiment. I mean, Mary Trump said that on Rachel Maddow the other night. I mean, that is absolutely 100% the case. It'll be unrecognizable 4 years from now, this country, if Donald Trump is reelected. But you know what? Everyone listening in right now, we all know this. It's just getting the word out to more and more people. And to make this, the patriotic response to a national emergency is mandatory.
I think, as I've said for months and months, he motivates us every day. Although he has fired up his base and this is interesting too, if I may, the polls that showed levels of enthusiasm, which by the way I think are meaningless this year, they show the level of enthusiasm for Trump much higher than among Republicans than the level of enthusiasm among Democrats for Biden.
Right.
Well, I'm not terribly surprised with that, but then when you measure the degree of motivation to vote, the Democrats win.
Yeah.
The Democrats come out on top because they are even more motivated to defeat Donald Trump. So it doesn't matter if they're excited. The Democrats don't care. They don't want to, and maybe are attracted to a lack of excitement about Joe Biden, knowing that he is the decent, normal path out of Trumpism.
Yeah. And in fact, you know what Donald Trump doesn't understand, Buzz? Donald Trump doesn't know that the three worst indicators of electoral success are yard signs, online polls, and crowd sizes. If you're ballyhooing those three things as the success of your campaign, you're doing it wrong. And now we can add a fourth thing into this, thanks to the era of Trump. We can now add boat parades to the things that don't even fucking matter when it comes to elections. If you're judging your success or failure on the energy displayed in your redneck flotillas, you're doing it wrong. You don't know anything about polling. And so, but that's what he's relying on. I guess there is a little wisdom in saying, hey, look at all this enthusiasm. Come and join all of us cool kids, that kind of thing. But that's just not happening. No one no one cares.
I was, you know, and you've talked about this before. This is the first time I really felt a response to it. You've talked about the love of owning the libs on the part of conservatives and rednecks. I was briefly on a public street the other day in a mask, and a pickup truck drove by. You knew it was going to be a pickup truck, didn't you? Pickup drove, and they had a couple of flags, and one of them was a Trump flag, and the slogan across the bottom of the flag was, fuck your feelings.
Yeah, there it is. There it is.
And it really got to me, not because I give any importance to this person.
Or
what they have to say, but because it's somehow okay to have this level of discourse. It's somehow okay to be mean, to be nasty.
Yeah.
How did that become okay? It isn't. It still isn't. And it's got to stop. We've got to make that wrong again.
People have lost sight of what politics are all about. And I think there's quite a few. There's certainly, you know, you can look at 40% of the voting population, I think, falls well within that qualification. At the same time, you got some on the far, far left who also don't understand politics. And so these are people who lost sight of what the presidency stands for specifically. They thought that this was an inconsequential political position. It doesn't matter who the president is, so therefore we can elect the host of the Celebrity Apprentice with all of his bullshit and copious, you know, history of being a con man in New York City. That's fine because, yeah, the presidency doesn't affect me personally. Oh, yes, it does. Oh, hello, COVID-19. Yes, the presidency does matter in our daily lives. Yes. Everything from our personal health to our mental health. I mean, this is something that the Donald Trump presidency and all of the terrible things that it has manifested over the years now, the American nervous breakdown is how I described it a couple of weeks ago in Salon. I think Mary Trump said this on Rachel Maddow as well. She said that the entire country right now looks like the Trump family. It sounds like the Trump family. The way the Trump family treats each other, the way Donald Trump treats the people in his inner circle, that's how the American people are now behaving. And shocker that the American presidency sets the tone for the country, as I've been saying. It is horrendous that there are so many people who are this badly misled about the American presidency. And that, I think, is the job for education. That is the job to, I mean, we need to get the word out in the same way that, remember that, I mean, obviously it's still going on now, but through the course of the 90s, the early 2000s, huge nationwide campaign against smoking. Why can't we do that with things like guns, but also with things like educating people about the proper role, the proper function of the American government, specifically the American presidency? These are things that need to happen, even if it means doing new Schoolhouse Rock cartoons. I don't care what it is, but no, we got to get the word out. Got to fix this, don't we?
Yeah. We do, absolutely. And we have to, you know, there's some things that are very difficult to legislate, especially in this country. Guns has proven to be one of them. And, you know, we're probably not going to eliminate guns, but what we can do is make being a gun nut uncool.
Yeah, exactly.
There needs to be a societal attitude change. And the same is true for civility.
Yeah.
It needs to be not cool anymore to be racist. It needs to be not cool anymore, again, to be civil. Yes, you've echoed my previous thoughts on education and the importance of that. We obviously have fallen down on the job in teaching civics and government and citizenship. We've obviously not made that clear. And to your earlier point, Trump has taught us so many things, one of which is it does matter who's president.
Yeah.
Another of which is not every kid couldn't grow up to be president.
Right.
You know, I mean, we need to write all of these down because we need to make sure, as you've said so many times before, that this never happens again.
That's right. I don't know if you saw the video clip floating around from Fox and Friends. The giggling couch tumors had Captain Eyepatch. Who's that guy? Congressman Crenshaw, I think is his name. Yeah, he was on with Fox and Friends yesterday morning. And you talk about a lack of education. You talk about absolute counterfactual gibberish. This guy was referring to Antifa as being fascist communists, which is sort of like saying jumbo shrimp or any number of oxymorons. There is no such thing as a fascist communist, nor is an explicitly anti-fascism group. How could that anti-fascism group also be in favor of fascism? But not only fascism, fascist communism, which is, again, the like two completely opposite things. And he's sitting there with a straight, unflinching in revealing this bogus information.
And Trump, you know, keeps putting it out there, left-wing fascist. And then, first of all, that also is an oxymoron.
That's right.
Fascism is always, historically, and by definition, a right-wing thing.
Yes.
There is no such thing as left-wing fascism. The left opposes fascism and always has. And for that matter, so did your gramps who fought in World War II.
That's right, right. Oh, man. Well, you know what? We still have a lot more to talk about when it comes to Bill Barr's testimony, a little bit more on fascism here from my salon piece and a lot more.
Because you got your wall of moms and your wall of veterans, and Bob and I are the wall of podcasters. So we'll be here. We'll be here to talk about those things.
You got it. But unfortunately, COVID-19 infection rates are exploding across the nation. We know it's common sense that everyone should wear a face mask. And finally, most states have put mask mandates in place. Face masks are still our best way to protect ourselves, our family, and our community. But what happens when the mask you thought you were buying is fraudulent or worthless, right? There's a lot of counterfeit masks going around. The FDA has provided a list of authorized respirator mask manufacturers. Finding those masks has been a challenge and verifying their authenticity even harder. But right now, thenewdealshop.com has FDA authorized respirator masks with anti-fake authentication on every package to ensure you're getting exactly what you need. These masks are tested by the NPPTL in the United States and provide greater than 95% filtration. They've even been used in the medical community as well. And right now, these masks are in stock and ready to ship for free to my listeners when you add the code SEXYLIBERAL. Go to thenewdealshop.com and order your supply today. That's thenewdealshop.com. Get them and keep yourself happy, your family, and your community safe. That's thenewdealshop.com. Thank you.
The Bob Seska Show.
I've been away, I've been wandering through these streets I knew so well. And I've been thinking of just giving in, letting it all go to hell.
This is Cloud Party and a song called All These Useless Truths from the Real album. Link in the description to support Cloud Party and all of our indie bands here on the show. BobSeska.com/music if you want to submit. Thank you for doing that. Please only submit your own music and not someone else's music.
That's the kind of music that would be good listening to while you're looking at a Rocky Mountain Mike wilderness photos.
He is an amazing goddamn photographer, that boy.
Beautiful job.
He's good at what he does. Hey, you know what? We have a top 10 list, don't we?
Whoa, I think we do.
Yay.
Bob, Fauci had a little trouble with that pitch last week, but this week, Topps announced that its greatest selling baseball card of all time is the one it just put out of Anthony Fauci. Preparing. looking good in the photo. It doesn't look bad. It makes it look good.
Yeah.
And it is their best selling baseball card ever.
Yep.
And so that's how much America loves Fauci. And with that in mind, I thought we'd take a look at the top five possible explanations for Dr. Fauci's lousy opening pitch last week.
Okay, here we go.
Top five possible explanations for Dr. Fauci's lousy opening pitch. Number five, hand sanitizer made the ball slippery. Number four, couldn't overcome instinct to flatten the curve. Number three, he's a nerd.
Yes, that is very true. That's
it. Number two, briefly blinded by one of Dr. Birx's scarves. And the number one explanation for Fauci's bad pitch.
Number one.
Confusing signals from catcher named Trump.
Let's go spreading now. Everybody's learning how. Come on, get infected with me. Come on, get infected with me.
Early in the morning, we'll be heading out. The virus will be coming along.
Rocky Mountain Mike.
We're loading up our woody, not a mask in sight. We won't be staying healthy too long.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Corona baby, wait and see. I'm gonna ignore the CDC. Come on with me, baby, let's head to the sea. We'll start a second wave, wait and see.
Let's go spreading now, everybody's learning how. Come on, get infected with me. Come on, get infected with me.
You know, I thought about this.
Yes?
If Dr. Fauci had thrown a strike... I mean, like, let's say Dr. Fauci threw a 90-mile-an-hour strike, like, right there, right in the sweet spot of the strike zone. I would have not believed anything he'd said about the coronavirus from that point forward. I want my nerds to not be able to throw, damn it.
You'd find out that he was really an ace baseball player posing as a scientist. We don't need that.
No. Nerds should throw like Dr. Fauci throws. All of our medical experts should. Actually, we need to see all of our. Where's Dr. Birx? I want to see Dr. Birx throw a baseball, because if she can throw a strike, she's out. I don't want to hear from her anymore.
I've never owned a baseball card, but if I did, it would be the Dr. Fauci card.
There you go. By the way, you know what? We have a new bit for playing Trump clips. I wheeled this out on Friday's After Party with Kimberly Johnson. Patreon.com/Bob Seska Show if you want to subscribe. You know, Tiny Trump, I thought Tiny Trump's getting a little worn, and some people are having trouble understanding what Tiny Trump is saying, and I can completely understand that, because sometimes I don't understand what Tiny Trump is saying. So I was experimenting, because you see, ultimately, Tiny Trump doesn't live in a cigar box in my closet. That's a big joke. I was making that up for comedic effect. Yeah,
I see.
And so it's actually a filter that I use to create the Tiny Trump voice. It's an audio filter.
Oh.
And so the other day, as I was doing the Tiny Trump treatment on Donald Trump's person, woman, man, camera, TV meltdown, short circuiting during that interview, I hit the wrong button and applied the wrong filter. But I thought, oh my God, this is funny. It's like one of those happy mistakes, like the discovery of the polio vaccine. I just kind of landed on it by accident. Here's the alternative. And I want to get, before I fully institutionalize this as part of the show, I want to get a full reaction from our audience in the comments at bobseska.com, also on patreon.com. Here's my new Tiny Trump voice. I call this High Pitch Biff.
Like you'll go person, woman, man, camera, TV. So they say, could you repeat that? So I said, yeah. So it's person, woman, man, camera, TV. Yeah. Okay, that's very good. Yeah. If you get it in order, you get extra points.
You get extra points.
Okay, now he's asking you other questions. Other questions.
Yeah, it's a little bit like Julia Child, isn't it?
There you go. I was trying to decide, but yeah, that's excellent. Yeah, indeed.
Yeah, so I think we may have a replacement. Of course, I'm leaving it up to you, the audience, to decide for certain before I go ahead with that, because you're the ones who are going to have to be subjected to it. I don't mind. I'll play this shit over and over and over again, as you all know.
And spoiler alert, there are more effects where that one came from.
Yes, that's right. Exactly. You know, there's a story out now that Donald Trump lied about throwing out the opening pitch for the Yankees. Now,
I think that's been confirmed, too. Yeah.
This is an insane lie. This is Donald Trump's, one of his most obvious and kind of curious lies. Like, I guess he was jealous of Dr. Fauci. I guess that's why he said it. This whole business he did the other day during his press conference, in which he said that he was throwing out the opening pitch at Yankee Stadium on August 15th. He was going to go up there. He's going to go up to New York, et cetera, et cetera. None of that is the case. He was never invited by the Yankees to throw out that opening pitch on August 15th. He stares into a camera on national television, broadcast across all the major broadcast networks, and he said, I'm throwing out the first pitch at the Yankees. You know why? Because of the Dr. Fauci pitch. Earlier that day with the, or maybe it was the day before.
I think that is part of it. I think jealousy is absolutely at the heart of that. But it is a lie. He was never invited to throw out the first pitch. And this is an example of a guy, and oh, I've seen this act before. This is an example of a guy saying something he wants to be true.
Yeah.
And hoping that even though he hasn't asked anybody about it, because he's president in this case, because he's Trump, they'll go along with him.
Yeah.
You know, sure, he never had a chance to talk with the Yankees about throwing out the first pitch, but he thought if he threw it out there, they'd play along.
Yeah.
Well, they tried to keep quiet about it until they didn't. and it is a lie. And it's quite obvious that it's because of the attention that Fauci got, and, because we all know that's what motivates Trump. And all the stories and stories that I've read from that include quotes and points from White House aides indicate this is everything to him. It's all about his ego. It's all about working from his gut and never, ever, ever, ever backing down.
That's right.
In fact, the more pressure to back down, the harder he pushes back.
Mm-hmm.
And he just knows no limits. And this is this megalomania that makes him think that he can will his way into an opening pitch at a stadium.
Yeah.
And then the other thing we've heard and read, and this is also true, is he thought there were going to be people in the stands. And when he found out that there were not going to be people in the stands, he thought, well, what's the point? You know, he wanted that adoring crowd.
Right.
Three things he listens to: his gut, Fox News, and the adoring crowd. And they weren't going to be there, so F it. He's not going to do it.
Well, that's the insane thing, that he canceled something that hadn't been planned in the first place. I mean, this is, again, this is the George Costanza side of Donald Trump.
Yes.
Where he just gets woven into these webs of deceit. Right, and he's got lie to compound another lie, and then a lie to explain the previous lie. Yeah,
that's been his life. That has been his life, and Mary Trump's outlined it. Like I said, I've read White House aide after White House aide saying this. It's universal. There's no one who disagrees with this assessment.
Uh-huh.
So it's not a theory; it's reality.
Well, minor correction. Donald Trump said this an hour before Fauci threw out the first pitch, but he knew Fauci was that because that was the context of the question. He had Dr. Fauci throwing out the first pitch of the Washington Nationals game. What do you think, Mr. President?
He had to get ahead of that. Absolutely had to get ahead of that.
So
he had to top that. He has to be better best.
Yeah. He said, Randy Levine is a great friend of mine from the Yankees, and he asked me to throw out the first pitch, and I think I'm doing that on August 15th at Yankee Stadium. No, he's not.
That was a smoke signal to Levine. Hey, Levine, if you're listening, you invited me, right?
Yeah, right. Right. And then Levine's like, oh. So smart.
Yeah, right. I guess.
The best brain. You know what? We all knew kids in second grade, you know, who would do this kind of shit on a regular basis. I knew guys in high school. They would come up to me and go, Bob, I'm just about to sign a record deal with a major label because I'm so great at playing heavy metal guitar. I said, oh, really? Are you? Are you about to sign that record deal? Yeah, and then the next day, record deal fell through, Bob. I don't know what happened, but they told me they don't want to sign me after all. I said, oh, well, because you just made that whole thing up, right? Yeah, probably. Yeah, yeah. So this is, I mean, we're all, that's the crazy thing about it. Yeah. We all know this kind of lying. We all know these kinds of people. And for someone who is such a serial liar, it's amazing how terrible at it he is. You know, you think after all these years of practice, he'd be better at it. But he's not. He's terrible. No. He sucks. He's the worst liar in the world.
He doesn't even realize it. To him, it's massively successful. If for no other reason than he's gotten away with it for this long and this far.
Well, speaking of deceit, too, you know those riots, the alleged riots in Richmond, Virginia?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, instigated by white supremacists disguised as BLM protesters. They were actually not real BLM protesters who were causing the unrest in Richmond, Virginia. And this has been verified by police and reported to NBC Channel 10 News in Richmond, Virginia. And so, I mean, there's not much by way of detail about that. But yeah, right. I mean, I think we're seeing this happen across the country.
Yeah, I saw Kimberly's post about this. The police have identified the individuals they arrested,
yep,
and have found that they are members of white supremacist groups. And yeah, there's a lot of, you know, even if it's just for theater,
yeah,
even if it's show fascism, don't even get me started on these quote unquote federal agents,
yeah,
and this ragtag team of SWAT members and, you know, various groups. The U.S. Marshals Service says it isn't part of it, but I think one of the agents has been identified as U.S. Marshals Service. We know Customs Border Patrol, Immigration and Customs, the Federal Protective Service, I meant to say.
Yeah.
We know that they're all involved in this and all wearing these sort of unmarked uniforms, a camouflage with riot gear.
Yeah.
Sure, that's going to calm things down.
Yeah. Here's a paragraph that we should all bear in mind. We just put this in our memory banks, repeat it, regurgitate it if we need to on social media. Nothing in the Constitution gives the federal government authority over ordinary crimes. In America, crime fighting is the responsibility of state and local government, but despite the lack of constitutional authorization, federal policymakers continually try to involve themselves in crime fighting. That is from the Libertarian Cato Institute in a document referred to as the Handbook for Congress, mm-hmm, about the expansion an application of federal police power. And it is so appropriate to what we're doing. I linked to it in my Salon piece.
Yeah, yeah. They the federal forces, Homeland Security, the umbrella for all of these agencies represented out there in, yeah, the camouflage. Homeland Security says these agents have the authority to arrest anyone for a federal crime.
Right, right.
So they can arrest people. And sure, let's take a look at the list of people they've arrested. Oh my, the vast majority of them were arrested for graffiti.
Yeah, yeah, and you know what?
Graffiti. This is the federal crime, and they've spray painted on federal property, on sidewalks and buildings and that, mm-hmm, sort of thing. But this is why we're out there with clubs and gas and rubber bullets and shooting people in the head with, yeah, these less lethal weapons, as they've now been come to be called.
Yeah. Yeah. Allegedly non-lethal weapons, I've been referring,
yeah, they're,
to.
They're called, yeah, yeah, they're now called, I've seen it phrased, less lethal weapons. Less, yeah, lethal weapons.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
they can kill, just not as likely to as steel bullets.
That's right. But, I mean, this is, again, I don't care how much graffiti is spray painted onto buildings and monuments and whatever.
Right.
That, you know what? There are industrial chemicals that can wipe that crap, right, away overnight. It's, you know, right, it's not a big concern. The graffiti can get washed off very, very easily. There is no justification whatsoever for sending federal troops into American cities, having them march in lines of battle against peaceful protesters. Yes, there are some infiltrators, right, that are making it worse. But the fact of the matter is 99.9% of all those protesters out there are peaceful protesters. And Donald Trump is sending his goon squad, his stormtroopers in to have them disappeared, to have them beaten for violations as anodyne as brandishing a flower, for God's sake. I mean, it's insane.
And America knows that 99% of the protesters are innocent, which is why, yeah, they are supporting the protesters. And like I said, their support for the protesters is amplified by things like the Wall of Moms.
Yeah.
You know, nothing drives this home, especially as Donald Trump tries to appeal to white suburban women to try to help him out in this election. Instead, they're out there. This is another example of Trump doing the opposite of what the country wants him to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's been the case with COVID-19.
Yeah.
It's been the case with his handling of everything.
Again, he wants to lock down his base. That's all he's doing. He's consolidating whatever support that he has remaining and making sure that they at least get out to vote for him. But, I mean, again, you can't win elections with 40% of the nation. Doesn't work. It doesn't translate to a winning election. But, you know, going back to what Bill Barr was saying today, you remember Doug Collins? Remember that guy, Doug Collins?
Oh, sure.
Sits on the Judiciary Committee. This is a little bit of Doug Collins talking today. Talks really fast. A little bit of caffeine. No dose. Yeah, that was Doug Collins. Well, someone needs to tell Motormouth Doug Collins that the U.S. Capitol is within the jurisdiction of the federal government. He went through an example with Bill Barr, just this performative nonsense in the House Judiciary Committee today, about how, well, what happens if they come up and they start spray painting or vandalizing the U.S. Capitol building? Are we allowed to send federal troops then? Can we do that? Yes, of course you can do it because it's a federal jurisdiction, for God's sake. But you know what? Portland, Kansas City, Albuquerque, these are not federal jurisdictions worthy of whatever he's doing.
People have been saying for years, when are we going to do something about Kansas City?
Yes, and Albuquerque, for God's sake. I guess they're going after Walter Wright and Jesse Pinkman in Albuquerque, finally ridding Albuquerque of the scourge of Jesse Pinkman. Yeah, I don't know. I hadn't heard anything going on. And you know what? The Kansas City thing, Buzz, that was taking place before it was even announced. I mean, we didn't even know about that until it was underway. And Bill Barr going around saying that they had already arrested 200 people when, in fact, Kansas City officials were like, what are you talking about? You arrested one person, not 200 people.
You know how McDonald's will test market the McRib in St. Louis before taking it wide? Well, that's right. They were trying it out. They were trying it out in Kansas City first, and then if it worked out, they'd move on to Portland.
It's the McRib gambit. That's what Bill Barr is engaged in.
Right. That's how historians will record it as such.
Yeah, exactly. I'm pretty sure Donald Trump branded it that way. Wouldn't that be great if they called it Operation McRib instead of, what is it, Operation Legacy or Operation Legacy, Enduring Freedom or whether Diligent Legend. Justice?
Operation Legend, I believe it is.
Jesus Christ. Well, they need to change it to Operation McRib. That makes a lot more sense.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. Well, and also Bill Barr was outright lying about the use of federal forces in Portland. He said the forces are in a defensive mode around the courthouse and are fending off attacks, when, of course, all the footage that we're seeing confirms the forces have cleared the streets and attacked peaceful protesters time and time again. There was one clip that I saw. It was so disturbing. Just a 14-year-old girl, a child, in the middle of the road with other protesters. Out of nowhere, these stormtroopers, these goons, these shock troops come up and start beating the crap out of her, tackle her to the ground. I mean, go outside sometime. You want to do an experiment and see what it's like. Go outside and just lay your face down onto hard pavement. And just the face just leaning on the pavement is painful enough. Yeah, can you imagine a guy on top of you or several guys on top of you?
14-year-old girl.
Yeah.
America sees that, at least the part of it on social media. Some news outlets have been showing some of these on TV, and it is a fine line between helping people see what they need to see and violence porn. It is a fine line.
Yeah.
But America needs to see that Donald Trump's thugs, his personal army, as the mayor of Portland put it, are beating up 14-year-old girls. Oh, there's a sign of a strong president.
Yeah.
By gosh, when you can send other guys to beat up a 14-year-old girl, can you get a more law and order president than that? I don't think so.
God, these goddamn little tiny men. Yeah, and Barr did the old shell game during his testimony today, once again, with the numbers.
Bill Barr was lying.
So Barr said only 8 black people have been shot by police this year. While 11 white people have been shot by police. First of all, I don't know if you want to be bragging about that overall. You know what I mean? It's not a good look for law enforcement. But yeah, 8 blacks have been shot by police this year, while 11 whites have been also shot by police. He says this without flinching in that goddamn Dick Cheney tone of voice. The reality is that African Americans represent just 13% of the American population, while whites are 70% of the population. Just by sheer numbers, of course there are going to be more white people. But as a percentage of the population, it is astronomically lopsided. Black people are targeted. They have been targeted for decades, if not centuries, in this country.
My smart-ass question to Barr would be, is it your hope, Mr. Attorney General, to get the number of black shootings up to 11 to make things fair?
Yeah. Right. And you know what? I got to talk about Tom Cotton, speaking of racism. I'll talk about Tom Cotton here in just a second. But I got to ask you this. You know what everybody hates? Everyone hates when their friends, their family members take a picture and without authorization, slap that picture of you up onto their social media platforms, whether it's Facebook or Instagram.
Camera.
Yeah, I know. And it's always the one where we're looking our weirdest, right? Or we're not looking right. Our best. There's an awkward look on our face or something like that. But I've got two solutions for you. First of all, a no unauthorized photos policy among your friends. And of course, the second solution is Plexiderm. Plexiderm, clinically studied serum that visibly eliminates your wrinkles, crow's feet, and under eye bags, all in the comfort of your own home so you look better on social media. Among other things, Plexiderm goes on clear and lasts for hours, so nobody's going to know you're using it. Go to tryplexiderm.com, use my code VOICES for half off a full-size bottle of Plexiderm, plus an additional $10 off, or try a $14.95 trial pack today by calling 1-800-685-1292 and mentioning the code VOICES. Again, visit tryplexiderm.com, use the code VOICES for half off a full-size bottle, plus an additional $10 off, or try a $14.95 trial pack when you use the code VOICES at triplexiderm.com. Thank you.
Bob Seska.
Yeah, this is the arts and sciences. I almost said scientists, but it's the arts and sciences. That's the name of the band, and the song is called Fall Down. We haven't heard from the arts and sciences in a long time, but this is from the album Hopeful Monsters. Link in the description at bobseska.com. Okay,
that is some smooth cruising.
Yeah, I love that shit. I think that's Paul Mellinson actually on lead vocals there. Another Paul Mellinson project. Speaking of monsters, Tom Cotton said yesterday that slavery was a necessary evil. You know, I love when they say the quiet part out loud, because then they turn around and go, yeah, well, the Democrats and the Dixiecrats in 1860, the Democrats were the slavery.
I heard that over the weekend.
Yes, you get that all the time. It's this nonsense that somehow Democrats of 2020 should be held responsible for the Democratic policies that happened 200 years ago, 155 years ago.
I had a response. I said, that was then. Things are quite different now.
Yeah, right. And there have been party alignments or realignments, shifts in ideologies.
Are they saying that it's okay for them to be racist now because Democrats used to be?
Yes.
It's our turn. They're saying it's our turn to be racist, and that makes it okay.
Yeah.
That's insanity. I'm sorry, and I didn't mean to throw off your point, but I had to get that out there.
Well, yeah, no, I think that makes perfect sense. The fact is that the parties, Republican, mm-hmm. Democratic parties, you have to imagine them as empty storefronts into which, you know, various businesses over the years have existed. You know, like that strip mall in your neighborhood. Well, the businesses come and go, but the mall itself, the structure itself, remains there. So over the years,
management changes.
Yes, the platform of the Democratic Party, the platform of the Republican Party has swapped hands a bunch of different times, slowly, mm-hmm. methodically over time. There have been various realignments. One of the most recent realignments, and I think we're in the midst of one right now, but one of the most recent realignments was 1964 or 65, when Lyndon Johnson passed the Civil Rights Act, Voting Rights Act, things like that. And there was a huge shift from the Democratic Party. All the racists went running over to the Republican Party. And that's where we are right now. That realignment still more or less exists. Obviously, I think Trump is going to change lots of things here going forward. But suffice to say, the Republican Party is the party that's defending the Confederate flag. The Republican Party is the party that's defending racism all across the board. And to go around going, yes, well, the Dixiecrats, you know, Strom Thurmond in 1956 did blah, blah, blah. It's just bullshit. It's just taking advantage of the dummies, the idiots that follow them. That's what that is.
Well, and Democrats have changed, too, over the years. Obviously, the most notable, the one that you mentioned at 65.
Yeah.
In the case of Republicans, it seems to happen a lot.
Yeah.
And a spoiler alert, they're never going to get it right. They're never.
No.
Here's how this ends. They're never going to get it right.
That's right. That's right. Because it's an entire movement now based on bullshit. No more core values. It's all bullshit right. now. It's all marketing and nonsense. Yeah. Completely
it's got
over.
To be. It's got to be over. I know that those insanely rabid Trump fans will. We're going to have to deal with them after the election.
Yeah.
They're not going to go quietly into that good night. And I don't look forward to that. But they are a minority. They will be out of power. And if we make it uncool to be that way, as I talked about earlier, it really makes a difference. A little peer pressure happening here. Let's get started.
There you go. And by the way, before we wrap up here, just a brief note. We have to all have a pity party here, a little bit of a pity party for Donald Trump Jr. Jr. had his Twitter account temporarily disabled because he lied about the coronavirus. Oh, so sad. I know, so gets sad. Another aw. So sad for Donald Trump Jr. has to sit on his hands for the rest of the day. But the problem is when Donald Trump Jr. isn't tweeting, the problem is that he goes out and tortures small animals or exotic
animals. Well, that
animals,
too.
And that's the,
that,
yeah.
That too. But it is dangerous. And I got into an argument with a misguided progressive today. I mean, I guess he's progressive, although he's sounding less like it all the time.
Yeah.
He was like a lot of Republicans and Trump supporters now screaming free speech.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is censorship.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
It isn't for lots of reasons. One, no. It's a private company. They can do what they want. You, as Republicans, have argued that a million times.
Mm-hmm.
But additionally, it is like yelling fire in a theater. And then I got into this fiery argument before we started the show. If I seem off today, and I know I do, it's because I got into this furious argument with a guy before the show. And he was hollering free speech, and I was saying, it's like fire in a theater.
Yes,
it's
it is.
Falsely yelling fire in a theater endangers those people, and so you're not allowed to do that. Freedom of speech comes with that responsibility, and as I've said many times about all of the amendments, there's nothing in the Bill of Rights that allows you to violate someone else's rights.
That's right.
Yes, you have constitutional rights. But with that comes the caveat that your exercising of those rights may not infringe upon the rights of others.
Yeah.
And you're doing that if you falsely yell fire in a theater. And he said, but that's different. He said, yelling fire in a theater is an immediate threat. How is this an immediate threat? And I said, and I don't use this language on social media generally. I feel more comfortable using it here. I never use it in my newscasts.
Yes.
And I try to avoid it online. And I said, with 150,000 Americans dead in this pandemic, how is that not fucking an immediate threat?
Yeah, no shit.
And to spread disinformation, whether it's yelling fire in a theater or yelling false cures in a pandemic, endangers the public and infringes upon the rights of everyone else.
That's right.
And that's why it isn't censorship. And damn it, please learn that with that right comes responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
With the Second Amendment comes responsibility.
Yeah.
Greatly lacking often.
Yeah.
But all of these rights come with this caveat and with this responsibility. And so you're going to be hearing a lot over the next day and a half about free speech and censorship. And that argument is bullshit. And I hope I've given some guidance here as to how to respond to that ridiculous argument.
Usually you have these debates with Republicans, with Trump supporters, and they don't understand the basic concept that they've been pushing for years and years and years, which is let the free market decide. That's what they do. Right. It's always about the free market. Why don't we
let
the free market decide?
Except when it hurts them. They hate a national debt, except when it's theirs. Mm. They hate any suppression of speech when it's one of theirs. It's okay. You know, the hypocrisy stinks. I really think that in spite of the too many people who will still be fervent Trump supporters on January 21st of next year. In spite of all those people, I think we can move forward. I think we can I think we can quiet them down. I think we can reduce their numbers by making it uncool.
Yeah.
That's the only way. I know, and I can't think of a better way to put it. You know what I mean mm-hmm. when I say that. It can no longer be okay to say fuck your feelings.
Yeah.
It can no longer be okay. As I've said before about political correctness, there's a reason for it. It isn't nice to say certain things to certain people, which is what moms used to teach their kids. I suppose many still do.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
We've lost that civility, and it's not right.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's the thing. In fact, I've been talking about that for a while now, that Donald Trump actually violates all the things that our parents taught us about being decent members of society. I'm not even talking about, yes, we can all have our fun and we can make fart jokes and we can belch and we can say the F word all we want. But the thing is, when you're interacting with real people in the real world, there's something that goes beyond whether or not an action is legal or illegal. There is just the basic decency of existing in a society where we all need to live together. We all need to exist together in the same place. And so in that way, we all have a responsibility to contribute to the greater good. And you see these shirkers every damn day refusing to wear masks and shouting down people like the guy that passed you on the street the other day. These are all people who don't understand these very basic tenets because they feel as if their grievances supersede the normal behavior that decent humans should portray in a society, in a civil society. It doesn't matter because they're pissed off at X, Y, and Z, at the Illuminati and the New World Order and how they're being left behind and they can't say rape jokes anymore and they can't blurt out the N-word on Fox News Channel. Woe is me. Yeah, wow. Pity party for those people. Yeah, they're another one. Okay,
Stick around if you can. Become a Patreon member so you can get the postmortem show, because the postmortem show is where I remember all the things I was going to say in the main show.
Oh, man. Yes, me too. Me, 100%. Yeah. But we're going to talk about the coronavirus, how the White House is a vector for the coronavirus. The White House is a vector for all kinds of awfulness. But everyone's getting the coronavirus at the White House. We're going to talk about that and a whole lot more. Maybe some pollgasm numbers coming up here. Like Buzz said, it's on our postmortem show at BobSeskaShow.com. That's our Patreon page. Sign up for $5 a month. You get 2 postmortem shows a week. You sign up at $10 a month, 2 postmortem shows, and the after party. It's a bargain at twice the price. We pass the savings on to you. Meanwhile, Buzz Burbank News and Comment coming up this Thursday, back from vacation in full force. BuzzBurbank.com, RealmNetwork.com, the best hour of news you're going to hear all week. Meanwhile, support all of your favorite sexy liberal programs at SexyLiberal.com. I have been lassoed into participating in next month's Sexy Liberal Unity Tour show online. Yes. So I've got something fun planned for that. That'll be great. Yes, it is going to be fun. So anyway, that's it. That's it for the show. We'll see you again tomorrow. I got Dr. David Pepper. He's coming up on the show tomorrow. We're going to talk about Ohio politics. Take care.
You're going to have Dr. Pepper, eh?
Okay.